This is One True Pairing. This is the true story of more than just a man. This is the story of a man troubled with heartache, deceit, and vengeance. This is the story of yours truly, Donnie DJ Holmes. The story begins more than 20 years ago. Let's follow along as we learn about yours truly.
DJ had to make a quick decision. DJ had unprotected sex in the past with his first boyfriend and swore to himself to never allow another man's semen into his body again. But now, in this moment, he desperately wanted to make love to pain. This was love and no longer just sex. Instead, DJ responded by saying, "I thought you would never ask." Inside, DJ screamed to himself, "What the fuck did you just say? You never wanted this." But he said it nonetheless. Payne looked at DJ in a quizzical manner. The look told DJ that perhaps Payne didn't believe him. In fact, Payne looked at DJ and decided to cut back on seeing so many other guys. For the first time in his life, Payne saw himself being faithful in a relationship. He still wasn't ready for having sex in a limited manner, but he realized that recently DJ wasn't saying no quite so much. He appreciated that fact. Payne then asked DJ, and it was then that DJ realized his own pre-cum was still in Payne's mouth. Their tongues played with it for a while until Payne stopped them and DJ could see that Payne visibly swallowed it. Again, this action surprised DJ, but his face did not show it. DJ was instead preparing his mind for the violation of Payne's thick-ass, curved-ass dick. He was also terrified of the possibility of a disease, but then realized that eventually he would have wanted to have unprotected sex as well. His body relaxed a bit after that thought ran through his mind. As DJ prepared to calm himself down, he also remembered they both just ate. DJ was scared he was going to make a mess, but to stop now would have been worse than the possibility of a mess up. So he told Payne to grab a dark towel to place under him and looked into Payne's eyes and said, "I must stay on my back the entire time." Payne laughed and said, "I'll get the towel, but if I make you ride me, you will ride me until I say stop. And if something happens, we will simply take a shower together. If something gets onto the bed, we will wash the sheets together. It's not like you and I had time to plan for this." DJ thought Payne was crazy. DJ would be mortified if something happened. But DJ allowed himself to concentrate on the moment. Payne grabbed the lube in his nightstand and the remote to the TV. He quickly turned the TV off. This odd movement made DJ think, why would Payne have an extra remote to the living room TV in his bedroom? DJ couldn't help but think Payne was a big whore all over again. But again, DJ pushed those thoughts aside. Before DJ knew it, the familiar cold of the lube found itself between his legs. DJ woke up to the smell of grits and eggs. He could tell that Payne must have been out of the bed for a while. He could hear Payne in the other room pecking away on his laptop and could see the fog and water on the floor from a shower Payne must have recently had in the bathroom. DJ moved extremely slow as he tried to get out of the bed. His body was sore from the night before. He didn't mind the pain because he felt pleasure from it and knew the feeling would fade shortly. As he moved, he decided to greet Payne in the other room. DJ was still naked, but didn't think about that in this moment. He felt a sense of euphoria from the night before. As DJ turned the corner from Payne's bedroom to move into the other bedroom, he heard a small printer clicking. As DJ walked up, he noticed Payne was reviewing information related to his fraternity. DJ asked, "What are you doing?" Payne was startled at DJ's entrance, but was happy to see him. Payne motioned for DJ to come closer to him, but didn't turn all the way around. DJ thought Payne wanted to show affection. Instead, Payne asked, "Do you know what this is?" "Something for your fraternity." "Oh, can I use your laptop so I can finish writing a speech I have to give later today?" "Sure," replied Payne. As Payne started talking, DJ grabbed the back of Payne's neck. DJ really wanted to hug and kiss Payne, but the best thing he could do in this moment was to give Payne a massage. As he gave Payne a massage, he noted the iron was hot. Payne was going to wear a suit and tie, but only had on his shirt and pants. DJ assumed Payne had just ironed his white button-down shirt. The iron was only about 3 feet away and to the left of them. To the right was the closet. Once, DJ had to hide in this same closet when Payne's chapter brothers surprised him one night to talk chapter business. He overheard them make fun of the lube they found in his bedroom. One brother playfully announced, "I always knew you were gay." But Payne quickly covered and said, "You know I like to watch porn, bruh. Why you being dumb?" The exchange, as scary as it was, told him Payne was quick on his feet and was much too advanced with coming up with lies to cover things up. But to DJ, this lie was a white lie. Payne was safeguarding his reputation and his own manhood. This was something both of them understood, but it was something both of them hated. DJ recalled how it wasn't even a discussion about whether or not he should hide in the closet, and how ironic that thought was. Times have changed, he thought. He wondered why he felt the need to hide, then remembered he hadn't told his mom yet. Neither had Payne. It was something else they had in common, that and the fact that neither really had a father. Both their fathers were dead, and neither grew up with the presence of a father. This is all the history pledges learned throughout the process. I'm making a copy for you. Learn it by the end of the night. Keep it here because I'm taking it from you tonight. The key to my apartment is on the table. My chapter has a service project today, and the guys on the current line are crossing tonight. I'll probably be back pretty late because we also have a chapter meeting to follow. Tonight, after they cross, we will likely decide whether we have a line next semester. At least that's what I'm pushing for. "Will I see you tonight?" asked Payne. As Payne talked, DJ couldn't help but wonder how their lives would have been different if their fathers were alive and present. Would they continue to hide this feeling, or would they suppress it? DJ knew some of his cousins with fathers in the house had homosexual tendencies, but were living a life away from that. He wondered if living with a father made you suppress your true feelings, thereby making you weaker, or if living with a mother made you more open and conversely stronger. It was a dichotomy that DJ would spend some time in the recesses of his mind pondering. "Of course. But why are you giving me this information, Payne?" "Because the more you mess up online, the longer your process, the longer your nights. I don't have time for that. I need to see you every night and at a reasonable time, understand?" DJ was caught off guard. Payne thought DJ was reacting because of how forceful his tone was. That was not a tactic that worked well for Payne in the past. Instead, DJ was shocked Payne was sharing information about the pledge process. Part of the allure of Epsilon was the mystery. Payne was demystifying a process that DJ felt he deserved, and yet, DJ wasn't in a position to complain. DJ responded by saying, "I'll start studying this as soon as I finish typing the speech for the coronation of Ms. Dawn today." "Why do you have to give a speech for that? because Ivory is her escort. I have to fill in. And even if he does still give a speech, it was my job to write it. It's part of the tradition vice presidents have held over the years during homecoming week. Oh, okay. But that's not what I meant. I don't understand why you all put so much effort into your Miss Dawn. Also, will everyone in student government be there? I don't know about everyone because they don't really communicate the information to senators. You know, Ivory is still running from them and their questions. He's doing whatever he can to stay away from them. And about Miss Dawn, to me, it's really about how everything on campus glorifies men, from sports to even things like SGA. It's a male-dominated culture. But this is one area that is dominated by women, and we glorify the strength, beauty, creativity, and intelligence of the women we have at Dawn. As DJ filled Payne in on things regarding homecoming and Miss Dawn, he remembered his need to talk to Payne about Angela. He could tell his point about Miss Dawn had been made, so he decided not to continue with that discussion. Which reminds me, what's the deal between you and Angela? Asked DJ. What do you mean? Quipped Payne. I'm saying the two of you are spending too much time together. In the SGA office, all Angela does is talk about you and what you have said and how fine and sexy you are. She keeps asking me what I think about you and a possibility of you two. Now, y'all are talking about fraternity business. I don't know much about your organization, but I know that doesn't make much sense unless there's a lot of trust involved. So what's the deal? I tried not to overreact, but after last night, I think I deserve to know the truth. Payne was caught off guard. Payne was wondering why this issue was coming up now. He also wondered why it mattered. Payne didn't think of DJ as his boyfriend, but maybe as someone he was dating. So in the end, he understood where DJ was coming from. It was his natural inclination to lie in this moment, but he knew DJ could sense when he lied. Instead, Payne decided to tell enough of the truth without pissing DJ off. Well, I don't see how this is any of your business, but Angela and I do talk. We talk every day. We actually talk more than you and I do. Sometimes we talk while you are here. Do you realize she thinks you two are dating because you talk so much? No, she doesn't. Payne, yes, she does. She has even described your apartment to me. DJ decided to throw all his cards on the table. He didn't have time for Angela, and he already decided he wanted Payne. DJ had to get rid of her, but he also couldn't afford to make a big deal out of the situation right now. Payne was shocked at how pointed DJ's accusations were. DJ's style was basically to keep asking questions until Payne messed up. This time, DJ was volunteering information. He was on the offense, and Payne knew he couldn't withstand an assault from DJ. We talk. Do I think she likes me? Yes, I do. Do we talk about things or even you? Yes. Has she been here with her suite mates because they were doing a book report and needed to use Wesley's library? Yes. You know, our library is better than Dawn's. It's clear to me she believes we are something, but I don't indulge her. She's like a little sister to me. I really don't care what happened in the past. I know you are still attracted to women, but I can't be in competition with anyone. I also know you aren't telling me everything. And if I'm going to be in competition with someone, it can't be someone I've known since my freshman year. That ain't cool, bruh. She's thinking about running for SGA president, and it's not like I really want to do that, but it is an option for me. Payne broke out with his patented Cheshire cat smile. Instinctively, DJ knew lies were about to spew out of his mouth. DJ braced himself for what was to follow. I promise you, DJ, there is nothing between us. Peace and blessings, all you new love fans. You just heard the latest installment in the life of Donnie DJ Holmes. If you like what you're hearing and you like to read, check out my blog at onetruepairing.blogspot.com. Check out more new love.